Fabulous. Hello, I am Rocky. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am so honored to be here with all of you. And I first want to start by sharing my gratitude that I'm so grateful for people who give service. For those of you that are leading the meeting, those of you that are keeping the meeting safe in the background, for our timekeepers, for the people who do announcements. These meetings would not be the same without your service. And I am eternally grateful for that. And I truly believe that for myself, service has been a crucial part of my recovery. Service keeps me coming to meetings when I don't want to. Service keeps me accountable. Service keeps me in program. And even being here, I'm on the East Coast, so it's about 10:45 for me, and I usually go to bed pretty early at night. And I've just always heard that people in OA never sleep in. That's what I've always heard. They never sleep in because we're trying to squeeze in one more meeting or one more, little moment of prayer or one more meditation. And for me, I'm like, oh, waking up a little early, that's easy. What's tough for me is staying up a little bit late. But I have to be willing to put in that time and that effort, because I get it back tenfold. And that's what keeps me safe and keeps me sane in program. So something that I am feeling really led to share recently is talking about my abstinence. My abstinence looks a little bit different than a lot of other people's abstinence. And for a long time in program, that was a source of shame for me. And I shared this with my sponsor, and she let me know. She's like, you just don't have to share your abstinence with anybody if that makes you uncomfortable. So I didn't for a long time. And then one day somebody said to me, if somebody has a problem with your abstinence, they can bring it up with their sponsor. And I thought, wow, I don't have to convince other people that I belong here or that what I'm doing is right. I can know for myself, and my higher power can give that to me. So to qualify, I identify as a 100-pounder. I am about somewhere between 80 and 90 pounds through my journey. I just have that last little leg to go. And I've been in program for about 9 months. And at my highest weight, I was a little bit more than double a healthy body weight for myself. I kind of got to a point where I just stopped weighing, and I knew that I weighed a lot, and that was it. And I didn't weigh anymore. And so I came into program, and people said, okay, welcome to OA. What we do here is we don't eat flour and we don't eat sugar, and we pray a lot. That's like the message that I heard. And I was like, that doesn't quite fit for me. And the reason I felt that way is before I entered program, I was actually doing no flour, no sugar, and I was weighing and I was measuring. And I will tell you that I lost all of the weight, and I was more insane than I've ever been in my entire life. I had lost about 70 pounds, and then life got a little bit lifey. Two big events happened in my life, and because I was operating solely on willpower, I gained all of that weight back in about 3 months. So you can imagine that extreme gain. And my closet always had, I would say, a range of about 10 to 15 sizes in it, because on any given day, on any given week, it would just depend. I didn't know that people kept like the same clothes for years and actually could wear clothes out. It would just be that I would wear something and then it'd get too small. So I'd, get rid of it, and then it would get too big. And so I'd bring it down to the basement and then it'd get too small. But once I found program, my mindset started to change, and my life started to change. And the reason was because I found an abstinence that worked for me and worked for my higher power. So I practice behavioral abstinence. So for me, I actually don't have a red list. And some people asked, well, is it possible that you're just a hard eater? Is it possible that you don't belong here if you don't have trigger foods? And the answer is that I 100% belong here. I lived a life for so long where food was my master. I woke up thinking about food. I went to bed thinking about food. Food was all that I thought about. And I had the disease of never enough. I would sit down in front of a plate of food and it was never big enough. It was never beautiful enough. I remember sitting down at the table, having a conversation with my partner, asking him what he wanted for dinner while I was eating breakfast. And it's because, as a compulsive overeater, there was never enough on my plate. I was always going to want more, and my day revolved around my food. And he just kind of looked at me with this strange look, not understanding how I could be thinking about dinner while we were at breakfast. And for me, I couldn't possibly understand how he could want to think about anything other than food. Food was my everything. I was in a relationship with food. Food was my hobby, right? I identified as a foodie, which gave me this free permission to obsess about recipes and about the perfect dish and the perfect that, and to take a million bites while I was cooking. And there was nothing in my life other than food and food thoughts. And this was not a joyous way for me to live. For a while, it was an escape mechanism for myself to keep myself safe and to keep myself happy. And like any drug, for a while it really worked. For a while it gave me something. And then I would have a binge, and that binge wouldn't quite fill the need as much. So I would have to have a bigger binge. And then that binge wouldn't quite fill the need. So I would have to have a bigger binge and more binges. And just like a drug addict or an alcoholic, my tolerance went up, and the price that I paid with each one of those binges was greater and greater. I was losing money on all the clothes that I was buying. I was losing money, in that I was spending all of my money on food. I basically didn't have a savings because I was just literally eating through it. And I was blessed enough to meet my sponsor in my first week of program, and she is my North Star. And I love that description as a sponsor because it implies that she helps me find the light. She helps me find the way, but it's my responsibility to do all of the legwork. She is just a tool in my program, and I have to put in the effort to get to where I want to go. And she helped me cobble together what I call my behavioral abstinence. And so I have what I call my eight pillars of abstinence, and they're behaviors that I refrain from. And by refraining from these behaviors, I've not only lost almost 100 pounds, but I have gained a new and joyous relationship. I now have time for hobbies. Some of my closest friends are in OA. I feel like the life that this abstinence has given me is an absolute miracle. And I hear people say that they came for the vanity and stayed for the sanity, and that is absolutely true for me. I came in and I thought, okay, this is going to be like every other plan I've done. I'm going to lose a couple pounds, I'm going to lose momentum, and then I'm going to leave. And then I'll just be on to the next one. And now I can't imagine a life without OA. I can't wait to be that person who's, been in the rooms for 40 years and who is still doing it and still taking sponsees through the steps. But my behavioral abstinence is number one. I eat only because I'm hungry. So I don't eat for control or productivity or preparation or relief or comfort or obligation, any of the myriad of reasons that I could think to eat. And learning what hunger felt like was new for me. I thought that I had some sort of disorder where I couldn't feel hunger. I would look up thyroid disorder, oh, like stomach chemical issues. And I just really believed that I couldn't feel hunger and that was my problem. And it wasn't that. It was that I was eating so much and so frequently that I don't think for probably 20 years of my life I ever felt truly hungry because I was just eating. I was eating my feelings. I was eating so that I would feel productive. I was any reason that I could think to eat, I would eat. And I really had to learn to tune into my body. And this was something that I had never done before. I had never checked in with myself to figure out what my hunger cues were. And when I started in OA, I had to sit down and I had to figure out what hunger felt like. I would sit at the table hoping that I was hungry, and I would do these like body scans, and I would go, how does my head feel? How does my stomach feel? How do my eyes feel? How do my hands feel? And I had to literally teach myself to check in with my body to figure out when I was hungry and figure out my own hunger cues. And that was new for me. That was totally new and revolutionary and hard. And the second bit that goes with that is the second pillar of my abstinence, which is that I stop at enough. So I always thought that people ate until they physically couldn't. I had no idea that I had this body that could somehow consume these mass amounts of food that nobody else quite seemed to be able to keep up with. And I remember being at a party once, and this thin, normal-looking woman said to me, she goes, oh my gosh, I can't remember the last time I was this full or this bloated. And I thought, oh my God, she must have eaten so much to not be able to remember feeling this full. Like, I can't remember the last time I was like, oh, I'm so full. I haven't felt this full in a while. And I realized now that I'm in recovery, looking back, she probably had a couple too many bites and she just felt a little full. And I didn't know that was a thing. It didn't even register to me. And so I had to do the same thing I did with learning about my hunger cues, is I had to listen to myself and figure out how I knew when I was full. I literally took a sandwich and I sat down with it and I started journaling what I was thinking, looking at the sandwich, all the things that were happening. My heart was racing, my mouth was salivating. There was like this feeling of panic. Like, if I didn't pick up the sandwich right then, the world was going to fall apart. And I think that's just how I felt about food all the time. And I ended up taking one bite of the sandwich and writing about how I felt, and taking another bite and writing about how I felt, and taking another bite and writing about how I felt. And I had to teach myself what it meant when I was full. I had no idea that I would sigh. I would push my plate away and lean back. I would start speeding up because I was afraid of being full. So I would eat faster. And I know now that these are all of my hunger cues. And when these come up, I stop because part of my abstinence is that I stop at enough. My third pillar is that I haven't binged. So this looks different for everybody. For me, I know that this is when I am eating in quantities, in large quantities, even if they don't make me feel full. I thought for a long time that one of my favorite foods was popcorn. Now that I'm abstinent, I actually don't think that I like popcorn. I think it was just the act that I could keep going back to the bowl and keep putting up to my mouth. And there was just like this melodic rhythm that I would get in, and I could feel like I was binging. But I didn't have to have that guilt soundtrack in my head that said, how many calories is this? How much have you eaten? How, right. And nobody really judges you when you're sitting down with a bowl of popcorn. And so this was new for me that I had to stop binging. And this was actually my hardest and scariest thing that I had to give up, because binging for me equated happiness. If I could binge, I could get relief from my problems and then I could feel happy. So when I told my sponsor that I think that I should stop binging, I was terrified, because for me, this meant I would never feel happiness again. And that was something that was devastating for me. And I really had to take this one day at a time. If I had been told that I would never be allowed to binge again, I wouldn't have made it. But my sponsor said, how about just for today? Just for today, we avoid a binge. And I could go without a binge for about 10 to 20 days. So the idea of one day I could do. So I just did one day, and I just did one day, and I just did one day. And 9 months later, I have not had a binge. And today I won't binge. And tomorrow, I don't have to worry about it. It's not tomorrow yet. When tomorrow comes, I will start again with tomorrow. My fourth pillar is that I have not eaten in secret. There was a lot of shame for me around eating. I knew that I was eating more than other people. And there was just this feeling of wrongness in me that I knew that I wasn't supposed to, and that there was absolutely nothing that I could do about it. So I would buy food, and I would, like an addict, I would buy this food. I would sit in the parking lot of a grocery store or of somewhere else, and I would eat this food. And then I would hide the wrappers in my glove box, or I would hide the wrappers under my chair. And one time, my partner found these wrappers in my car, and he knew that I had eaten them. And I was so shrouded in this lie that I said that I didn't know where they came from, and I somehow thought that he could believe that, you know. And he let me, because it was a kindness to me then, because if he would have brought it up, I never would have been ready. It had to be my journey and not his. And I did that so frequently, or so frequently I would buy two of things and eat one on the way home and bring the other home. And sometimes I would buy two of something. I would eat one on the way home, and then I would eat one like walking up to my front door. And then before I even got to my front door, I would walk back to my car and drive back and buy a third one to keep in the house. Because that's the only thing that I knew how to do. I can't really explain why. And the beautiful thing is that I don't have to. How it works in the big book says that, you know, the reasons for our afflictions don't matter. It just matters that we're here and that we keep coming back, because it works. My fifth pillar is that I don't snack on ingredients. This was a major thing for me, where I could easily finish an adult human's meal while cooking and then sit down and eat my oversized meal. I would, if I was cooking for two people, I would essentially make three servings, and I would make the excuse that I would have to take bites of things to taste it along the way. And I would taste everything. Not once, not twice, not three times. I'm talking like 14 or 15 tastes along the way. And this was like a secret way for me to get more food and to justify it. I would also eat in secret, and when someone caught me, it was their problem, not mine. So I would be in the kitchen doing my, you know, secret eating of whatever it was, and my partner would come around the corner, and rather than go, oh my gosh, I'm binging, I'm feeling embarrassed, I would go, Aren't you supposed to be like doing the laundry? Aren't you supposed to be somewhere? You know, and this would start a fight between me and my partner because my shame was being masked in all of this anger and the food was damaging my relationships. And so now I don't eat in secret. And there is for me a difference between eating in secret and eating alone. Eating alone means that I am by myself. But eating not in secret means that if anyone were to ask me what I was eating, I would be able to tell them without feeling any sense of shame or guilt. And so, no secret
Marky, we're
eating.
about 3 minutes, just to give you a heads up.
Thank you so much. I
No, thank
appreciate
you.
that. number six is I don't fill the time between my meals. So I'm not allowed to plan my day out and say, okay, I have 4 hours until lunch. What should I do between those hours? My day has to be structured around things that are not eating, or else I will start to obsess about food. So I have to be present and intentional with my activities. My seventh one is that I have not bartered with a day that is not today, or in a way that leaves me hungry later. A big thing for me is, you know, it would be breakfast, and I would say, well, I'm just gonna have one slice of this thing that's not really a breakfast, but I'll just have one slice, and then I'll skip dessert later. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna have two slices, but I'll have a smaller portion at dinner. I'm gonna have the whole thing, but then I'm gonna skip lunch and I'm gonna skip dinner. And of course, lunch comes around and I'm hungry and I eat and I can't keep these promises to myself because I'm an addict. So I don't barter. I'm not allowed to say that I can eat something now and then I can do something different later. If I want to eat something, I have to be fully intentional and recognize that this is what I'm eating right now and I can't barter with a later meal and I can't do sub outs because then I obsess and I lie to myself and I don't keep promises. And I'm really learning that a healthy boundary for myself is that I keep promises to myself the same way I would to anybody else. And my eighth pillar of abstinence is that I have not treated my body as a garbage can. So this means I don't eat food that's rotten. I don't eat food that would otherwise go in the garbage. I don't eat last bites to keep them from going to waste, because eating them and having them on my waistline is not better than having them in the garbage. And I don't eat over the trash can. I'm not allowed to say, well, I'm taking one more bite as I'm sliding this into the, because it just puts me in a headspace of thinking that I am a trash can, that I'm a vessel for waste. And I'm not. My higher power wants bigger and better and more beautiful things for my life than for me to be a trash can and a receptacle for food and for waste. And that's my abstinence. And I built it for myself because I knew that it was achievable, but I also knew that it was terrifying. And I needed to be a little bit scared because that meant that it was right for me. And this program is right for me. And this place, this OA, is such a special and miraculous place. And if you are new here, if you are new, I just want to tell you that there are things here beyond your wildest dreams that you will
Rocky, I
have.
was just about to cut you off at time. This is my
Thank
first meeting ever, and you just spoke to me
you.
directly. So thank you so much for your share. Thank
Absolutely. And
you so
I
much for
just,
your share.
yeah, thank you all for being here and for listening to me. And I wish you the most beautiful and recovered evening. And I pass.